Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
How many believe Jesus was successful? How many believe that he had and enjoyed 100% success in his healing ministry? You know, with the exception of those who had rejected him, the scriptures seem to indicate that everyone who came to Jesus to be healed by him and heard his teaching and sat under his ministry, they were all healed. And we have a lot of scripture that indicates that. Let's look over here tonight at Matthew, the fourth chapter. Let's start in verse 23. Now Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Isn't he a wonderful Jesus? I mean, you just stop right there. Bless God. Look at that. You don't see Muhammad doing that. You don't see Buddha running around doing this. But we see Jesus doing it, don't we? I mean, what a beautiful Jesus he is. Healing everybody, healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of diseases among the people. Verse 24, then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Who did he heal? Well, if you go back again, verse 24, it says his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people. Everybody say all sick. All sick people. They brought all sick people to him, and it says he healed them. He healed them. Who healed all? Healed who? Healed all the sick people. Healed all the sick people. Notice chapter 12, Matthew, the 12th chapter, and in verse 15, but when Jesus knew of their plots to kill him, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and what? He healed them all. Isn't he wonderful? Healed them all. Notice over here in Luke, the fourth chapter. How many people know you and I have been called to walk in the footsteps of Jesus? Have we been? Yes, we have. We've looked at the scriptures many times that tell us we're to walk in his footsteps. He himself said that those who believe in him would do the same works he did and even greater works. So we should be duplicating Jesus' success in ministry in our own personal lives, in our ministering to others. Well, notice here in Luke, the fourth chapter, in verse 40, it says, now when the sun was setting, all those who had anyone sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. He laid hands on every one of them and what? Healed them. So he healed, apparently it looks like there, he healed every one of them. Luke, the sixth chapter. Luke 6, in verse 17. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits. And they were healed. They were healed. And then we know over in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Peter stood up and preached about Jesus and said that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Notice that? He healed all those who were oppressed of the devil. So Jesus, according to these scriptures that we looked at, it would seem to be that he had 100% success in healing everybody that came to him. Everybody that sat under his ministry was healed by him. Like I said, we know there were people that rejected Jesus, despised Jesus, and of course they wouldn't be able to be healed by him. But those that came and sat under his ministry, listened to his teaching and so forth, came to him expecting to be healed, they were healed. We would be led to believe by looking at these particular scriptures. Now, if Jesus had 100% success at getting people healed, and you and I are to walk in his footsteps, then should anybody, and don't answer this right away, should anybody walk away from us that comes to us for prayer or to be ministered to concerning healing, should any one of them walk away from us not healed? Should everyone that comes to us for prayer go away healed if we are to walk in the footsteps of Jesus? If Jesus had 100% success, we would have to conclude then that if people did not get healed after being ministered to by us, that the blame would solely be upon us, would be upon the one ministering healing. If in fact, everybody that came to Jesus was healed. Right? If everybody that came to Jesus was healed, and we're supposed to walk in his footsteps, that everyone we minister to should be healed. Notice over here in Luke 5, verse 17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now notice this. These are some church folks, religious leaders, and they traveled great distances to come and sit under Jesus' ministry. They had come and they were in the house where he was ministering. We know that there was a whole crowd of people that ended up gathering outside the house. And there were so many people that not everybody could get in. And that there was a man who was crippled who had some friends that decided that they were going to get in there if they had to rip the roof off the house. And that's exactly what they did. And they lowered their friend down in the midst of where Jesus was. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And the people that were sitting there, that had been sitting there, that had been being taught by Jesus, that had traveled from all these different places, they'd come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem to hear him, his ministry. They came, they obviously believed in him. They didn't come attacking him because they were sitting there in the house with him like a guest being taught by him. And yet when this man was lowered down and Jesus healed the man rose up, took up his bed and left the house completely healed, they all marveled at it. And they were questioning about him being able to forgive sins and things, and all their different doctrines begin to rise up and cause them to stumble at what had just taken place. All these religious people that were there being taught by him had come to be taught by him. They left that house unhealed. You say, well, how do you know they even needed to be healed? Because the Bible just, we just finished reading. It says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Heal who? The ones he just mentioned, the religious folks that just came out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. So obviously, some of them were in need of some healing. They weren't healed. They went away unhealed, even though they sat under Jesus' ministry. We need to understand that Jesus did not get everybody healed that came to him. Everybody that sat under his ministry was not healed by him. He wanted them healed. It was his will for them to be healed. but not every one of them were healed. And the reason why that's important to understand is because if we have unrealistic ideas about Jesus, then we're going to have unrealistic expectations for ourselves. If you think that everybody getting healed is your responsibility and that it's up to you to get everybody healed that comes to you, that will overwhelm you because it didn't even happen for Jesus. But if you think it happened for Jesus, then you'd have to conclude that if we're to walk in his footsteps, it should be happening for us too. We see that Jesus couldn't heal religious people, even though they zealously came to be taught by him. These guys knew too much. We got to watch about knowing so much that we know too much. We know so much that we really can't receive much anymore. We can't really receive, and we really can't receive things that are different from what we've always known to be true. But there are a lot of folks where it is religious to them. And it's hard for them to receive. It's hard to be able to bring healing to them. Notice over in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 20, then he began to upbraid the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. It doesn't sound like they're going to a good place in eternity. All these people from these cities where Jesus preached the gospel, where many mighty works were done by him. Here were some cities that Jesus went into. He preached. He did healings. But not everybody got healed. In fact, the language here indicates that most didn't. Most didn't receive. Most of the people were unchanged by Jesus' visit to their cities. Most of the people. Even though they witnessed in the Crusades mighty works being done. Even though they saw many people get healed and delivered. Isn't that interesting? See, sometimes you got to go a little deeper into the scriptures and not just look at it at face value. Because if you just look at it at face value, it seems like, hey, anybody that came to Jesus was healed. Jesus just got 100% results every time. I mean, if they came to him, they got healed. Simple as that. I mean, we know that. If Jesus was alive today, if Jesus was in this congregation tonight, man, you had a problem, you'd walk out of here healed. That's what so many people think, but that's not necessarily reality. Because not everybody received healing from him. It wasn't that it wasn't his will for everybody to be healed, but not everybody received. That's why he's rebuking these cities. Notice that statement. He said, you are exalted to heaven, in verse 23. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. That's another name for a hell. You folks are going to end up in hell. But what's their problem? They're exalted to heaven. You see, Jesus could not help people who felt they already had it all. They felt like they already had it all. They're exalted. They got everything they need. What did they need from Jesus? Notice if you hold your place and go to Revelation chapter 3. We see Jesus talking about the church at Laodicea. And he says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, so then because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. What's this? They're exalted to heaven. They think they got it all. They've exalted themselves. They're looking at all their material blessings, all the possessions that they have. How many of you know we got it good in America? The American church has it really good for the most part. These folks had it really good, and they judged themselves based on how they had it according to the flesh, according to the natural. And Jesus called them lukewarm because of it. See, they were complacent. They weren't able to receive much from him. That's why he said, I wish you were hot or cold, but lukewarm, I can't do anything with you but vomit you out. All right? So that was the same thing with these other cities. They were complacent. They just kind of watched Jesus like it was an entertainment, and they didn't receive everything from him. Notice in Matthew 13. Matthew 13. You think there's a lot of lukewarm folks in the church world today? Do you think there's a lot of lukewarm people, spiritually lukewarm, in the world today, in our society today? Do you think you can do better than Jesus and get these people that Jesus couldn't get healed, healed? I mean, here's a church, Laodiceans. I mean, they're Christians. They're a part of the church. They're showing up for service. Over here, these cities that Jesus went into, I mean, they showed up at the Crusades. They came and heard him. They watched the miracles. But yet, because of lukewarmness of heart, Jesus couldn't help them. Jesus couldn't cause any change to take place in their life. Notice Matthew 13 in verse 54. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Wow. They're impressed, aren't they? I mean, if you just stop right there, you'd say these folks are very impressed with Jesus. They are listening to his teaching. They're listening to the wisdom. They're thinking, where is he getting this utterance? This is amazing. Now you gotta, you know, put yourself there. Jesus is here in the flesh. He's ministering to these people. They're thinking, that's some good preaching. Someone in the back shout, go ahead, go ahead. Someone else said, amen. I mean, it's happening. Jesus is preaching. He's teaching. Great wisdom is flowing. They're amazed at what's going on. And then, verse 58. And he did not do many works there because of their unbelief. Now, how in the world does verse 54 and verse 58 work together? How do you have people that love Jesus' preaching? They think, wow, what wisdom. Such amazing things are happening here today. And yet, Jesus can't do a thing for them because they're so full of unbelief. Unbelief, not so much in the things he preached, but in him. They did not believe in him. And as you read the whole thing, it's because it was his own hometown and people were familiar with him according to the flesh. And because they were familiar with him according to the flesh, they thought they had him all figured out. They knew everything there was to know about him. Right? Because they knew him, right? They had him all figured out. And as a result of that, they weren't able to receive the things that God wanted to do through Jesus for them. So Jesus could not heal those who were given to familiarity. Couldn't do it. Were they listening to his teaching? Come on, get a hold of this. Were they listening to his teaching? Were they sitting under his ministry? Was he unable to heal them? Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? We talked about the demon-possessed man who had a legion of demons. Remember that? And in Mark and Luke's account, it only talks about one man. But Matthew brings out that there were actually two demon-possessed men that were up in that cemetery, cutting themselves and running around naked and so forth. And only one of them ran to Jesus, fell down and worshiped him, and was delivered, healed, and put in his right mind. And the other one was not. So one was delivered by Jesus, and one wasn't. Did Jesus have 100% success that day? He had 50%. He had 50% success. He had 50% of the people get healed that day, get delivered that day. Then we need to get a hold of that, because we've been called into the healing ministry ourselves. As Christians, he said, believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And if you lay hands on folks and they don't get healed, you're going to think you're a failure. You're going to think, you know, I'm not able to do this. I'm not able to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. But friend, a lot of us already are walking in his footsteps more than we realize in a lot of areas of our life. And we need to know that, build on that, so we get bolder. How about the rich young ruler who came zealously to Jesus, crying out, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He comes, he says, what must I do to get a hold of this absolute fullness of life? He came to Jesus, he cried out after him, sought Jesus, obviously sought him out, called him a good teacher, believed in him. And Jesus told him what to do. But verse 22 of Matthew 19 says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus could not help materialistic people. Jesus could not help people who were in love with material things. Could he? This man came to Jesus' meeting and went home depressed. Not everybody that leaves Jesus' services goes home just to shout in the victory. Should they? Yes. Do they? No. Not everybody goes home excited that they just met with Jesus. Even though they came with high expectations, many have left disappointed. Not because of him, but because of the things that they're harboring in their own hearts. So even though Jesus had tried, there were those he could not heal. Jesus couldn't heal religious people that zealously came to be taught by him. Jesus could not help those who felt they already had it all. Jesus could not heal those who were given to familiarity. Jesus couldn't deliver or heal those who were unwilling to leave a unclean lifestyle, because that was the case of the two demon-possessed men. Jesus couldn't help people who cared a lot about materialistic things. And then Jesus told a parable called the parable of the soils. And in that parable, he talks about the sower sowing the word. How many of you know Jesus was sowing the word? Right? How many of you know you are called to sow the word? And it's a healing word, right? God sent his word and what? Healed them and delivered them. So he's sowing healing. He's sowing the word. He's sowing healing. And he said, when that sower was sowing the word, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds of the air came, plucked it up, ate it. Some seed fell on stony ground, shallow ground. And so it sprang up real quick. But when the sun rose up, it scorched it and it withered away. It withered away as fast as it sprung up. Then he said, some seed fell among thorns, thorny ground. And it also sprung up, but the thorns and the weeds also grew up next to it and choked it, choked out that word seed, and it withered and died. And then he said, some seed fell on good ground, and it produced some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Notice that Jesus just told us right there that only 1/4 of the people that heard his word on healing, that healing word, only 1/4 of them produced. Only 1/4 of them got results. Think about that. He's a farmer, you know, spiritually. He's out there sowing, and he only gets 1/4 of what he has sowed for. Sowed it, but only got 1/4 of it. And then, that 1/4, only 1/3 was 100%. It was 30, 60, 100-fold results there. So only, we could say, 1 out of 7 actually got 100% results. Most people did not produce anything from which Jesus had sown in their life in his ministry. If you're going to believe his teaching on the parable of the soils. See, it's unrealistic expectations about him that cause us really not to get anything done. Most folks just do nothing. When you don't have realistic ideas about what you're called to do, then you just won't do anything. He's called you to preach his gospel. He's called you to bring healing to people. He said you lay hands on the sick, and sometimes you might see a whole bunch of folks get healed, but sometimes you'll see some folks, if you're like Jesus, you'll see some folks not get healed. You'll see some folks not repent. You'll see some folks walk away from you sorrowful after you've ministered a real happy word to them. Amen. You're just ecstatic. You're just as happy as can be. And you look out there and they all just look at you. You think, well, it sure is blessing me. Because it's not just all on Jesus. It's not just all on God. It's not all just on you. As a declarer of the gospel, as a witness for Jesus. It's not all on you. A lot of it has to do with the soil that you're sowing into. A lot of it has to do with the person you're ministering to. Where are they at? Now, outwardly, a lot of people look like they're in a great place. They're at Jesus' meeting. They've traveled far to get there. They've waited on long lines. Come on. Looks like they're all in a great place spiritually. And yet, they were unable to receive from him. Was that Jesus' fault? I can't hear anybody tonight. Was that Jesus' fault? No, it wasn't Jesus' fault. And it isn't necessarily your fault if people don't get healed, if people don't get delivered, if people don't receive fully the things that you present to them. But you're still responsible to present it. And friend, if you're waiting to have 100% results, if you're waiting for everybody to just love you, agree with you, and receive everything you say to them when you talk to them about Jesus, then friend, you ain't ever going to move out. And that's why most of the church ain't doing anything. I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about church in general. Most folks just aren't doing anything spiritually for anybody else. They're just complacent. They're not stepping out. Why? Because they might not receive. Jesus didn't wait around for everybody to receive before he went out there and ministered. Did he? No, he stepped out, man. Here, over here, he steps out of the boat, he gets 50% results. Praise God for the 50%. Amen. He steps out over here. He gets rejected. They want to throw him off a cliff. But aren't you glad he still stepped out and presented the gospel to him? Huh? Yes. Pharisees are sitting in the house. He's ministering a healing word. How do you know that? Because the power of the Lord was present to heal. He was speaking that word, man, and that anointing was showing up. That anointing was manifesting. That anointing will manifest when you start talking about it. He is talking about it, man. And that anointing was there, and none of them got healed. But thank God for the one that came down through the roof and got healed. Aren't you glad Jesus was in the house ministering? Just for the sake of the one. Come on. He talked about leaving the 99 to go after the one sheep that strayed. That's how God is. God's not just waiting around for all the conditions to be perfect. Don't you wait around until you think that you're going to have 100% success. You start stepping out now, because that is walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And walking away from people and them not being healed after all you did for them, prayed and laid hands on them, and they still weren't healed. Bless God, you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Preach on salvation and they don't get saved. Praise God, you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Because there were people that didn't get saved under his ministry either. Glory to God. This is an encouraging word. Now, as for me personally, I'm going to receive everything he's got for me. And that should be your attitude. I'm going to be good ground. I'm going to get the stone out. I'm going to get some soil in there. I'm going to deepen things a little bit here. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be good ground. When it comes to me, I'm going to make sure my garden, the garden of my heart, is in a good condition. And I'm going to get everything God's got for me. And when it comes to others, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to present it. I'm going to love folks. I'm going to minister it. But if I get rejected, if I don't see good results, I'm not going to get depressed about it. Because I know I'm walking in the footsteps of Jesus. I'm getting the same kind of results. If I only get 1/4 of the people to hook up with me, to get blessed, get everything, glory to God, God's bringing down the pike, the preaching pike from the preaching pulpit. Bless God, I'm going to celebrate it. Hallelujah. Because I'm walking in the footsteps of Jesus. I'm duplicating the works of Jesus. Amen. Let's duplicate the works of Jesus. Let's do what he did. I got news for you. Jesus was not in La La Land when he walked the earth. Everything wasn't just beautiful and wonderful all the time. He lived in a world just like we live in today. Jesus was met with disappointments. Jesus had been frustrated. He said to his own disciples, he said, "How much longer must I bear with you?" That's what he said. That sounds like somebody that's a bit frustrated, doesn't it? How much longer must I deal with you? He was frustrated. He was disappointed at people's response. You don't think that disappointed him when that rich young ruler came to him all excited and walked away depressed? You don't think that's disappointing? He was met with all these things. But praise God, thank God, he kept moving forward. Kept doing what God the Father had called him to do. Hallelujah. And we're going to do the same thing. I said we're going to do the same thing. We're going to focus on our successes. And learn from everything else. Amen? We'll just learn from it and keep moving. Keep going. Because you can't, there's some things you're just not going to be able to do for folks. You'll be limited. People will limit you. People limit God. They'll limit you. So unrealistic expectations about Jesus lead to unattainable goals, which lead to being unmotivated to really strive for anything, which just results in hopelessness. They don't see themselves able to duplicate what Jesus did because they have unrealistic ideas about what Jesus did, the kind of results Jesus had. And so when hopelessness sets in, people just don't do anything. They just sit around and get religious. We just play church. We really don't believe in anything enough to actually step out and do something. If you think that getting Bible results is getting everyone healed, then you will become discouraged thinking there's really no way to get Bible results. This is why many have fallen into the deception of doubting the Bible altogether. I've seen it happen. I've seen people teach the Bible, know the Bible, believe the Bible. And then after a while, they don't much believe it anymore. Because they had an unrealistic idea about the Bible. They had unrealistic ideas about Jesus. They didn't have the proper balance. They didn't rightly divide the word of truth. But when you understand, man, Jesus was a man just like you and I. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He got tired. He got weary. He got frustrated. He was met with disappointments. Not everything went and turned out the way he would have liked it to have turned out. There was a lot of people he wanted to see healed and blessed, but he couldn't do it. He went on top of a mountain, looked over the city of Jerusalem at the end of his ministry, and he wept over it. And he said, how I've longed to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wing. But you were unwilling. Now your enemies are going to come in, build an embankment around you and level you and your children to the ground. And he was prophesying about what the Romans were going to do just a few years later after his departure. But he wept over it. So much more he wanted to do for them. But they were unwilling and non-receptive. And he wasn't able to do a lot of things that he wanted to do. He was met with disappointment. Yes, Jesus didn't always walk on the water. He had moments where he performed outstanding miracles, did amazing things. But that wasn't his whole life. His whole life wasn't just one big miracle. It was very natural. He dealt with a lot of natural things like you and I deal with today. He dealt with people. He had to deal with people just like you and I have to deal with today. Amen. We see it even over in the early church. With all its powerful success, still, they had struggles like we have today. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul the Apostle, a man heavily anointed by God, wrote 3/4 of the Bible, and it's called the Word of God. This man knew God. This man walked with God. This man walked in great power, turned cities upside down, created revivals wherever he went, which caused churches to get established all over the known world. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 20, he's closing his letter to Timothy and he says, Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Huh? Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick? What do you mean, Paul? Why did you leave him there sick? You don't care about him anymore? Who is Trophimus? He was one of Paul's traveling companions. He was close to Paul. They traveled together. He was a follower of Paul's. Followed Paul, listened to his teachings, went out, ministered, but yet Trophimus, Paul left sick in Miletus. What do you mean? He couldn't get him healed. Now, we don't know exactly why, but we just know he couldn't get it done. Now, I love people that don't understand the scriptures at all. They don't understand the power of God. They say, well, see, healing went out with the last apostle, and see, here's where the power was beginning to wane. Paul was losing the power. The crystal ball was glowing dim. The energy was running out. No, just like in Jesus' ministry, there were people that Jesus left sick. There were people that Jesus left in cities sick. He wants everybody healed. And thank God you and I can receive it and walk in divine health for ourselves. When it comes to healing others, we have to have realistic ideas about what that exactly means. Notice over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the church at Corinth. I want you to see something. This is so exciting to me. Someone says, how is people not getting healed through Jesus' ministry exciting to you? It's exciting to me because it helps me to see the humanity of Jesus. And understanding that we don't have to be something we could never really be in order to do what he did. But he was a lot like us, and we're a lot more like him than you think. We're born of him. Come on. We're the righteousness of God in him. He was righteous. We're righteous. We've been washed in the blood. We got access to the Father by faith. Whatsoever things we desire when we pray, we just believe, we receive them, we'll have them. We got favor with God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We're members of the body of Christ. And his spirit lives, same spirit that was with Jesus is with us. We've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. We got the power of Christ upon us. Amen. Come on, we're right there with him. We can do this thing. thing. We need to stir ourselves up and get more aggressive and realize, bless God, I could do this, and get rid of the unrealistic expectations and ideas of what he's called us to do so that we sit back and do nothing and just look at it and go, hey, man, that's a good fantasy. People like fantasy. A lot of folks treat the Bible like fantasy. Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, Daniel, and the lion's den, these are just great stories. That's why we create veggie tales and we duplicate the stories of the Bible and we make a mockery of them, turn them into cucumbers and vegetables, and we just do whatever we want with Jesus flicks. We got movies about Joseph and Mary that aren't in the Bible, and we just make stuff up because, after all, it's all fantasy anyway.
Right.
When you understand that this is reality and attainable by faith, and bless God, you don't just play with scripture like that. You don't just play with Jesus and put words in his mouth. And put words in Mary's mouth and Joseph's mouth. You don't touch these holy people. Because this is true. This is the truth. You don't play with the truth. You don't defile the truth with a bunch of fantasy and lies and some producer's ideas about Jesus. This is the truth. Don't defile it because I'm planning on walking in it. Yes. Don't defile it. I don't want to watch something that's got a perverse image of what is the truth because I plan on doing this thing. Yes. You give me some false image, it's going to mess me up. Yes. I got to have the truth because I plan on doing it.
Yes.
How about you? Yes. Notice it's here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. He's talking to the church at Corinth. You were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you came short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you're on the edge of your seat looking to get revelation from. You're functioning in the gifts of the Spirit, walking in the power of God, demonstrating the moving of the Holy Spirit, confirming his word. Man, this sounds like an awesome church. You just leave it like that and think, my Lord, we're far from that. How could we ever be like the church of Corinth? But then again, you just go a few pages over to chapter 11. And this statement is made in verse 30. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. It's a nice way of saying they're dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. So wait a second. Here's this church that reading chapter 1 can give you all kinds of ideas about the early church that might seem unattainable to you and I today as we view the condition of the church today in general. But yet, a few chapters later, we find out they've had a lot of sick people in that church. Many of you are sick. Didn't he say that? Church full of revelation, church full of the gifts of the Spirit, church full of the power of God. Many are sick. Many are sick and weak, and a lot of folks have died prematurely. At a church like that? Yeah. Why? They weren't judging themselves. They weren't walking correctly, loving one another as they should. They were giving place to the devil. They were being stupid. That's why. So do you see? The church today isn't that really far off from the church there. They had sick people, they had weak people, and they had dead people. Right? And yet they had revelation, they had demonstration of the Spirit, right? They had all kinds of power, they had zealous people in there, eagerly looking for the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, folks, we don't want to live in a fantasy world. We want to live in reality. Because it's only in reality that we're actually going to get something done. We're not going to get anything done in fantasy world. We're going to get things done in living in reality. And the reality of it is there's a lot of negative things that take place in the ministry, in churches, There's a lot of negative things that take place in life, along with many beautiful, wonderful, awesome things that take place. They both come together. As long as we're in this world, in the condition that it's in, that's just the way it's going to be. That's the way it was for Jesus. That's the way it was for the early church. And that's the way for you and I. So what am I saying? Don't get discouraged when negative things happen. When Henry dies. Why did he die? He was so zealous. I don't know. I'm not going to figure out why he died. That's between him and Jesus. He'll stand before his judge. That's between him and the Lord. It's got nothing to do with me. It's no reflection on the church. We all prayed. We all believed. We all laid hands. And yet what? Same thing happened that happened in Jesus' ministry. Same thing happened that happened in Paul's ministry. Same thing happened that happened in the early church. What are we going to do? Get discouraged and think, it doesn't really work. It's not really true. Because if it was really true and it really worked, everybody would be getting healed. Everybody would be running around the room doing laps 24/7. We'd all just be a happy and a knowing it. Hallelujah! That ain't reality. And that's why a lot of folks are discouraged. A lot of folks get full of doubt and unbelief and think, well, bless God. Maybe there's something wrong with the pastor. Maybe there's something wrong with the pew. Maybe there's something wrong with this church. Maybe I need to go somewhere else. And you got folks doing all kinds of things trying to find it. And it ain't there. It don't exist because it ain't even in the Bible. But because they think it's in the Bible, they're looking for it. It ain't there. Just leaves them wandering through a wilderness of lies. But we're going to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We're going to walk in the healing techniques of Jesus. And we understand, bless God, that there is going to be some situations that aren't always going to turn out exactly the way we would want them to turn out. But that ain't going to hinder us. That ain't going to discourage us. That isn't going to stop us. Bless God, we're going to continue to stir ourselves up and keep going after that 1/4. I said, we'll go after that 1/4. Praise God. And we might have to get through a lot of folks to get to it, but let's just keep going. Let's keep doing it, and let's find it. And in doing that, we will have found ourselves faithful before God, and we will receive our reward when we stand before him on that day. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet, body of Christ. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.